This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Horror Bites on Sega Games and the people who make them. I'm Neil Bolt, and I'm joined as ever by Jay Krieger. How goes it, Jay?
It's going well, man. I've got plenty of pots that need water in this week, as was the case last week.
Indeed. Yeah, it's a nice sort of game types, I suppose, this week in terms of going back to stuff we covered recently. And they both kind of share a similarity because we're playing the hand we've been dealt with a doubleheader of horror-based card games, effectively, here. And these games, as ever, can be found on itch.io, and if you play them and enjoy them, please help the developers out by supporting their present and future works in any way you can. And as ever, links for both games will be included in the show notes. So, first, Jay, the likes of Inscription, Buckshot Roulette, things like that, are proving to be inspirational for indie devs, and your pick definitely owes them a big favor, I'd say.
Absolutely, it does. My pick this week is developed by developer Cypoos, which, again, you know, if we're keeping a running catalog of hilarious developer names, that's definitely going in the old pile. But my game for the week is Rose Sewers, which is a plant themed card game that pits the player against waves of eccentric sewer denizens with the hopes of reaching and defeating the all powerful blood god. This game was developed in 5 days for the Jame Gam number 39. And it should be no surprise, one of the themes of that game jam was flowers or thorns, right? So it's the type of thing where, you know, this, and it's funny, coming right off the heels of us last week covering Plants vs. Zombies. And then, as you mentioned just a moment ago, like, Inscription is a really great shout in terms of inspiration and influence. But before I get into what is easily one of my favorite horror bites of the year, I gotta say, like, the fucking nerve of this developer. I was reading his description, and not only is he a mathematician and a computer scientist, but in his free time, he's designing games such as this that are so well balanced and just, like, strategically intricate that I was, like, thinking 5 days to make this game? That's insane, considering, again, like, how refined and how polished and how, you know, the amount of forethought that went into this game. I think sometimes maybe when you think about game jam entries and the really brutal time constraints of them, is kind of like, you have a theme, you have a general idea, let's rush into this. And then, you know, given that time constraint, sometimes we see some rough edges and whatnot, which is perfectly understandable. But, like, with Rose Sewers, I was kind of floored by just how well polished this was. And again, the layer of intricacy with which all of the sort of strategy comes with the cards and, you know, all of that. And it'd be one thing if this was just like a plant themed sort of like Magic the Gathering knockoff, but this really does have mechanics that are all its own in a way that gives us its own identity, past just the fact that, you know, it looks like you're playing in what looks like one of Jigsaw's kind of like dungeons for one of his traps, but you've got these plants in front of you, basically. And so the way this game works is each player has basically a blood bank, which acts as their life force. You have five rows of pots in front of you, and then you draw cards, and all of the, you know, what are basically monster cards are around the theme of being roses. And so each card has, much like a mana cost in Magic the Gathering, there's a bleed cost to playing something. So blood is your mana, essentially. And once that mana or blood sort of vial depletes, then, of course, you or the other player dies, depending on who is, you know, dwindled down their blood bank. So you not only have to deal with the fact that every time you're playing one of these rose cards, you are losing life, but every single round you are paying what is essentially like a feed cost, which means that if, you know, the stronger that some of these rose cards are, they have a higher feed cost, which then some of them, if they're a heavy hitter, they might have a 2 or 3 blood feed cost, which means that the next round, I automatically lose 2 or 3 blood vials to justify them staying in the game, basically. So that mechanic, I think, does a really great job of keeping this a very snappy experience in terms of the rounds that you're going to be playing. There's probably six or seven combat instances before you reach the inevitable blood god that you'll be fighting. And, you know, that adds a great deal of complexity to the sort of way in which this game plays out in terms of the rounds, because, you know, it's the type of thing where somebody that gets a little too excited, perhaps by like a super powerful rose that they add to their deck, because in between each round, you either can add a new rose card to your deck that then has, you know, increasingly strong abilities, but then of course they have a higher bleed rate and whatnot, or bleed cost, or you could, you know, draw an ability card or pick an ability card, and then you get an additional 5 blood to your blood vial, or you could, you know, start with an additional card and whatnot. And it's the type of thing where, you know, there is a real ebb and flow to the way that combat plays out in this, but at the same time, like, there is sort of that metagame almost of like, don't play all of your cards too quickly, because they're in the back half of some of those encounters. If you're going to save a card, all of a sudden you haven't been bleeding yourself basically to like play it first and foremost. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've been bleeding yourself and it hasn't powered up as much as it could. So for example, like there's a simple rose, which kind of is the basic. And then you have like a shield rose, which can attack, but it has no feed rate. So all of a sudden you have this card that's allowed to stay in play that can defend one of your pot rose. But then at the same time, there's like a wise rose that gains +1 attack for each turn. So like picking your moments with which type of rose card you're going to play, given, you know, whatever your blood count is at, or the player's or the opponent's blood count is at, like there is this real ebb and flow to combat that I thought was really impressive. Again, it's not indicative of a game that was made in 5 days, I think, for the most part. But before I kind of like dish on some more real standouts on this, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, I mean, I won't add too much myself because I think you've covered it very well so far.
There's a lot but, to just to mess up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I must laugh, first of all, you know, someone who is a mathematician, computer scientist, and game developer could still be, you know, childish to have a name like Cypoos as well. Just it's like, it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside that, you know, great intellect does not mean you haven't got a sense of humor.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, pure one at that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's, the setup is, you know, really simple in one way, you know, but as you said, as you've just quite clearly explained, it is a bit complicated once you get into it. But I think it is just that right kind of mix, and the way it's set up and structured funnels you into it quite simply. You know, there's very little in the way of distractions. It's a bit trial and error just to get it right to begin with, but all the same, that's the point. Yeah, you know, it's not like a, it's not a kind of hand-holdy experience in the way that you expect with some games like that, where they try to sort of teach you little bit. It's very much like being very aggressive with getting to the point. I mean, understandable, you know, it's got a lot going on. And I think it's a bit of a fallacy to try and make it, you know, accessible. You know, it would be a bit odd. But yeah, it's at least intriguing while you learn and while you get to the bottom of it. And I think because what is there is so, you know, structured and funneled, you know, you can pick it up quite easily once you get used to it and once you get into that flow of what it's doing, and then the layers of it come in and you suddenly find yourself going, oh, okay, so now, you know, there's a little kerbal thrown in here, as you said, with the different types of flowers, the roses you can get in to do the job. And I just think the very real sort of danger element of like using blood, you know, like that, you know, Inscription is obviously quite cool for sort of the whole thing of doing, you know, with the your life be forfeit, or even Buckshot Roulette and that sort of thing with that. It's, I like the idea of like card games with peril like that in that thing. You know, it kind of takes you back to that sort of old West style of like, you know, if you win or lose or whatever, you could end up shot sort of thing.
Right.
Or in this case, you know, just die of lack of blood. But so But yeah, I think that as well just makes it a far more unique sort of way of selling it. You know, the fact that you know what the consequences are of losing, you know what you have to give to do well. And as a result, it kind of makes you think more, because it's not really turns you're having to think about. It's more about cost. And that is always a more interesting thing, because it gives you the sort of penalty shootout vibes of like, yeah, if you you miss this one, you've got to make it much harder for the next one, sort of thing. And I like that sort of structure to any card / puzzle sort of game, because it does make it more intense and doesn't feel frustrating. You know, I thought that, you know, how overwhelming it felt at first, I thought it would be a bit frustrating. But I think, as I said before, it just does do the right things in terms of like visual style to make you learn it without, like, by not giving you these distractions here, there, everywhere. But you've got more to say, haven't you, on this one?
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to shut up about this one. I'll definitely be covering it again for you know, our horror bites of the year. But yeah, you know, I think that for this game, and it's indicative of just like how well refined the mechanics are, the fact that while you definitely, at least in my case, I had to restart maybe one or two battles. At the same time, though, those were like really great learning experiences, because I realized, oh, okay, I need to start changing my sort of pacing within the first three or four rounds of back and forth combat. And so, you know, those mechanics, I think, again, it just speaks to how well refined they are. And it's the type of thing where, again, you'd mention the fact that like somebody that could be this well, you know, educated and whatnot still has this really great sense of humor to it, right? And I think that plays out in the game itself. And, you know, they're fleeting moments, but at the same time, they're frequent enough that it gives you a quick chuckle every time you get to the next denizen that you need to fight. And they have a eccentric personality that's all their own. And just kind of like getting a brief glimpse into that usually gave me a chuckle and whatnot, even to the point where when you finally get to the final boss and, you know, you want to become the blood god yourself in defeating them, like initially they have a health bar of like 5,000, which, you know, is infinitely higher almost than anybody else that you've fought. but there's a nice little end game twist to that as well, which I won't spoil. But I think that overall, like, what is so refreshing about this game is the fact that even if you have maybe a stumble or two early on and you start to master the mechanics of it, it never necessarily felt too easy. And that was kind of my fear with a game that probably tops out at maybe 40 minutes if you're going to spend a good deal of time with it. I was worried that it was going to be the thing where it's like, oh, okay, the mechanics themselves are actually quite shallow. So I'm going to, you know, the first two battles, I might have a stumble or two, but then by the third, I'm just going to steamroll everybody. And for the most part, I thought that most battles were not necessarily right down to the wire, but they were close enough that if I made one false move in a late stage of that combat encounter, then I would have to actually, you know, start over, or I was on sort of like my last life and whatnot. So that was a really nice sort of ebb and flow to combat and whatnot that wasn't overly stressful or overly complicated. But at the same time, I never got too comfortable, which I think is really important with something like this. And the last thing I'll say for now is that I really enjoyed also like the music for this game, which is from someone named Egan. And also, once you finish this, there's an endless mode for people that really enjoy the sort of mechanics of it all. And again, it's the type of thing where I doubt this will flourish into a, you know, a bigger experience. But if anything, it's the type of game where I could see it going in that direction again, just because of how strong the mechanics are. And I think the creativity and the variety of roses in terms of like the cards themselves is really great. And the abilities, again, it felt like somebody that probably has been playing something like Magic the Gathering or other competitive card games, because they have the vision for it and they see the ways in which they can take those fundamentals and apply it to what is so unique and all their own.
Yeah, I think it does take a real talent to make, you know, a singular flower such a strong start, you know, part of, you know, a collection of cards, and making it feel like each one matters and is unique. You know, when, you know, most card games very much rely on their, what the designs of things look like and how different they are and like that. I think that's, That in itself is a great challenge and a great way of sort of refining it and streamlining it for a game jam as well.
That's a
good one. There's no doubt about that. But while we shuffle the deck, we will take a quick break.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome back to Horror Bites. LCB Game Studio has been the subject of several Save Room episodes thanks to its Pixel Pulp series. And now the developer of Mothman 1966, Varney Lake and Advancing Nights, has made a game jam entry about something that connects their previous work, Solitaire. Yes, it has been the case with every single game in the Pixel Pulp series so far that it has, in some way, featured Solitaire. Another developer that clearly has a love and understanding of a card game and likes to mix and match what it does with it. Here, in Summoning Solitaire, it works as basically an offshoot of the Pixel Pulp series with the same art style in between, a bit of storytelling. It's just smaller, less the story, more about the cards. And it basically plays out very much the same as the card games do in the previous games that we've seen. So it does feel like almost like a bonus episode, to what we've seen before. With the thing we've discussed on previous episodes of Safe Room with those games, saying, will the solitaire thing become a bit of a joke if they keep doing it like that? And this almost feels like a response by making the game that is just, let's just make it all about the solitaire. It's a very knowing thing. Surprisingly, I found the balance worked, like that. Yeah, knowing that it's smaller, their games are less than 2 hours anyway, normally. But this is much, much smaller. And the idea is basically you are to beat the solitaire game to summon a demon. That's it. You go into an old house and that's what you've got to do. Really is that simple. You get a few of those frames, that we love so much in their games, the visuals, and they're nice accompaniment. So that means you get the good and the bad, I think, with this. With that, you have that lovely visual style and that thing that we're all familiar with. But the one thing that has always been a slight bugbear with their solitaire games is you don't get to click on the cards. You have to do them manually by choosing an option, text options, because that's the basic way it's been in the whole series. I would have thought probably if you were going to do it differently, this was the chance to do it, But by tying it so heavily to the Pixel Pulp series, as it has been, I think they've just thought, well, no, we'll keep it. We'll keep on with the same formula. Yeah, so I mean, that's really my major complaint. This one is that's the thing I've not liked the most about the solitaire games is having to do it like that, where you are choosing options rather than just, from a text bunch rather than just individually clicking on cards. And sometimes for me, I don't know about you, I just sometimes find that kind of instruction a bit confusing. And sometimes find myself picking the wrong thing or not really understanding what I'm supposed to be doing, even though they were very thorough with their rules and things like that. Also, we're just bad at solitaire. I think it helps.
I'm glad you said it before I did.
Yeah, I mean, everyone had their period of having to do that on the computer for a bit because there's nothing else to do sort of thing. I remember doing that in a workplace where it was very quiet during the winter, just literally the office computer, using it for solitaire because it was about all you could do on that computer that wasn't work related. And even then it was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I know the basics of solitaire, obviously. To base a whole game about it makes it a bit potentially the weakest part in some ways, an endearing part in another, I think, because it feels now synonymous to me, the game of solitaire with their games. So in that regard, it's a bit of a curio, but I enjoyed it well enough for what it was. Simple stuff, hard as ever, but card games are not technically my favorite thing to do, but when it's the Pixel Pulp stuff and LCB, I'm more than willing to give it a shot because they do try and find different ways of like handling that. So how about you? How did you get on with this very streamlined version of Solitaire from the games we've played before?
Well, I have to admit that, there's no developer other than LCB that I would want to play a Solitaire game from. Even if, as we've mentioned, like, can be kind of frustrating. It's difficult at times, clearly not our bag in that regard. But at the same time, what I think that this really solidifies is that they know through and through, like, how to present something that might seem familiar in a way that is incredibly engaging. And I find that to be the most valuable part, not only about this, but I think it's a testament to just LCB and how they're able to establish a world in very few words. The way in which this game opens and the sort of ending to it, like the bookends to it are not necessarily all that surprising, but at the same time, they present the setting, the players, the objective in almost no time at all. And it at least gives a little bit more, it emphasizes more about why you should be engaged with this, even if it's something that's familiar, even if it is, maybe a little more difficult to maneuver and play in this go around. But, I think overall, like, their presentation is so strong. I love, again, that pixel art style, the music that goes along with it. And if anything, it makes me, I love also like just the gag of it all. The fact that this is even a thing, and they put it out on itch.io was great. But at the same time, it makes me excited to see for their next game, if they're going to not only include Solitaire, but like what crazy rules they're going to throw into the mix this time around, and how they're going to make that thematically relevant, maybe in some ways to like whatever topic their next adventure is going to be, revolving around.
I was gonna say, which is a slasher, wilderness slasher game, I believe.
Oh, so there you go. Perfect. I'm gonna be dropping cards because they're gonna be slick with blood or whatnot. But I think that's one of my favorite aspects of their games, is the fact that, again, they can create a great sense of atmosphere very, very quickly. Even like, it's so strong that even if it maybe is an aspect of gameplay that doesn't click with me, I'm still going to follow through with it just because it progresses whatever narrative they're telling and whatever world that I want to continue to explore that they've created that time around.
Yeah. So, anyone coming to the games of LCB Game Studios now with this, I would say if this maybe left you a bit cold because you found the control scheme a bit cumbersome, you might be better off trying the games themselves, the Pixel Pulp games, because they're great fun, 2 hours, and you can listen to the episodes and things we've talked about these games with. And they'd probably be a better introduction. Yeah, this is very much like, feels like a bonus gag for everyone who's followed the games to this point, and that's great. And, for free, what are you going to complain about in that regard? It's doing the job. It's nice fun. A nice stopgap between games as it stands. So, it's two card games this week. One from someone we love, one that's a new favorite. So, another good week in Horror Byte history. We are now wrapping things up. And of course, as ever, if you are a developer of an indie horror game, demo, concept, or game jam entry, we would love to hear from you. You can drop us a DM at Safe Room Pod on Twitter. Still trying to keep that as Twitter. Or saferoompod@gmail.com for email if you'd like to be highlighted or interviewed on the show. Jay, it's been a pleasure as ever. We will be back next week with more Horror Bites.